For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Today on Lulz, artificial intelligence and the future of sports betting. We have a guest swinging by with some domain expertise within this area. We also have a few announcements from Brick at the top of the show. I'm Pete with Brian Hooper. This is Lulz. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no. Let the DFS guys pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right. Brian Hooper, MLB opening day. Are you fired up, Brian, like it's 1994 or whatever?
Oh, God. I was just saying that, too. Like, peak baseball was 98, I want to say. The Maguire-Sosa home run. But that was, I think, the most people were into it.
And that hit me squarely in my youth because the Rockies were founded in 93. And so we had that kind of era, the Blake Street Bombers. And then you had the Maguire-Sosa race. That was, like, the peak of my MLB fandom.
That was the first year I played fantasy sports. Rockies first year.
Yeah.
Rockies Marlins. Yeah. And I think I took a Rockies. The Rockies had a young starting. I can't believe this is so long ago. I can't remember. Rockies had like a top prospect pitcher. And so I took him fairly high in the draft. I remember I was just a kid basically. And I'm like, this guy's like ranked number. Little did I know that the Rockies would be the home run capital of MLB for the next, 20 years. And that was a horrible pick. Started bad, finished bad.
Yeah, it's crazy. Little did I know as a kid that Coors Field was going to become a meme in DFS when I grew up. All right, like we said, Bunch U Bets is going to be joining us in a little bit here. But Brian, we had a few little housekeeping things to take care of here. Which of those would you like to hit on first?
Let's start with a couple announcements. We were planning on offering UFL sims and projections, and we are no longer doing that. So anyone who subbed to that was refunded, and anyone who had like a sub from before we bought Run the Sims, they were never charged, and they're not going to be charged because we were planning on having Neil run it. Because none of us know anything about the UFL, and we weren't going to try. And Neil was going to try to do double duty and do fantasy points and ours, and it just was too hard for him to pull off, and he just couldn't do it. So that happens, whatever. It was too much work, too much, not enough juice for the squeeze. And so sorry for everyone who signed up for that, but we're not just going to, fake it through the UFL. So that's gone. But the good news is Yuta just released his MLB projection. So on our site, if you go right now, it's like literally just him uploading his stuff as a CSV on Run the Sims. If you go Run the Sims MLB, it's his stuff with his notes and his projections. And that's it. But hopefully by the 7th, we're going to get it all automated to like a play-by-play sim level data with all the individual stats listed out, and then go from there. Like maybe offer some props and stuff. Maybe a sim eventually. I don't know. Probably an optimizer. But right now it's literally a CSV of Yuta's stuff. If you want it.
I was on the site right now. I was gonna screen share here so people can see what we're talking about.
I don't know if you're like an admin, but
I shouldn't be. I would hope not.
You might be. Who the hell knows?
So maybe I got this zoomed in here. I was on football. Let's see. RTS tools, MLB projections. Okay, there you go. Yeah, so you're just right there, embedded Google Sheet.
So, it looks like that might be free, actually. It's not behind a
paywall. Well, I'm logged in.
You're logged in, so you probably have free access, I'm guessing.
I think I got the keys to the castle.
Yeah, you might.
For a while, yeah.
We might have our own gay porn situation, and if you ever piss off Pete.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if it's both read and write access, or just read-write access. But this is cool. So then... So Yuta just uploading this directly, and I assume this is daily projections for today's slate.
Yeah, for like the main slates and stuff. He's not going to do showdowns and stuff. Once it gets automated, we'll probably have a whole bunch more slates to offer and stuff. But he's not going to be able to handle. The only reason he's doing this is because we're not done, but we're close, so we're like, okay, fine, he'll do it for a week or whatever till it gets automated.
There you go. Getting to see you can say you are a founding member of Run the Sims MLB. Getting to, and people will look fondly back on the days when it was just an embedded Google Sheet.
There is a code too, and I should know it. Let me look. It's I think it's like Yuta MLB or something. Let me see. Yeah, Yuta MLB.
10%. That's right. Jewish McCaffrey says, if I refresh, Mike Waltz just added you as an admin. Is there an in-game syndicate group chat, Brian? Do you guys have that, and are you worried about any DMs ever getting leaked?
We do have that. I don't think probably anything. I'd probably be the one most in trouble if they did. We don't use Signal. Yeah, I make a few inappropriate jokes in there, so I'll just get ahead of it.
There you go. All right, Brian's turning himself in now to the woke police, even in advance of anything he said. I like that. There you go.
We released some of it last week when I talked about how we had ChatGPT see which dictator we looked like in our group chat, our work group chat.
So yeah, man, that does feel like end of the or that's the first thing with the transition from Run the Sims to in-game syndicate. That feels like the start of a new chapter, and that like Justin was such a USFL sicko, and that was like a big part of what they're doing. But that's also, you need a sicko to actually be able to run that service.
It's exactly what I was thinking. You can't it's UFL. You have to like love it. And how many guys are there? There's like Cody, Neil, Justin. There's not a lot of dudes.
Fantasy points guys. There's a couple of them over there that do it, but that's about it.
That's about it. And we talked about like making it free and then just having just some of the users who want it for themselves running it and stuff. But like, it's a headache. And then our name's going to be on it and stuff like that. So if you can't do it right, why, you know, don't do it all.
Yeah. Yep. That's unfortunate,
how about this? Even Davis said he couldn't do it. Right. So if the most certain man on the face of the planet says, I can't
Did you offer? I assume you offered Davis.
Yeah. Do you want to do it? We'll pay you. I mean,
wow, Davis turning down a gig. It sounds like things are finally turning up for Matic if he turned down a gig.
Yeah. I was thinking this is a side note, but I just thought of this earlier. It'd be funny, like Wes Anderson movie, you know, like the Royal Tenenbaums, the certainty of Davis Matic, you know, directed by Wes Anderson. I could see that being a movie.
Oh my God. Did you see the clip I posted from the Swolecast this week of Davis telling me I needed to profesh up a show sheet I had made 6 years ago for our Patrick Laird interview?
I saw it and I was somewhere where I couldn't play the audio, so I haven't played it yet, but I was planning on it. Do you want to play it? Do you want to play it?
Sure. I can play this stuff.
We're waiting a few minutes.
And I set this up on the Swolecast, and this part didn't make the clip, was the reason I'll never forget it. It's like now an inside joke with me and Lauren. Like you know, it's like, oh, we're having company over and like I need to do a better job straightening up. And Lauren will be like, will you profesh up like the living room a little bit? And it's all a callback to Davis telling me that I needed to profesh up this show sheet. And so, you know, Davis and I, you know, this is a big interview. We're getting an NFL player, Patrick Laird, on. I'm on vacation, mind you, too, which is also why this frustrated me so much, because I'm like on vacation, running home, trying to get this interview ready, and I get a show sheet. And, here's the rest here.
We were doing the Laird interview, but I wanted to whip together a show sheet. And so I just like jotted down some chicken scratch, and Davis sends back to me, hey, looks all right, but we need to profesh this up a bit. And I've never been so tilted in my life.
I'm going to be honest. That doesn't even sound like me. The part that doesn't sound like me is the word profesh.
Yes. DM. Oh, God, this is satisfying. Bro, you got to profesh this up before.
So, David, that was just a random message sent at 4:26 p.m. But to you, Pete, it has stuck with you for 6 years.
I am still pissed about it.
For a minute.
The best part is he starts it with, bro, you got to perfect this up.
I'm crying, dude. Just looking at this, bro, I think we got to get you to 10,000.
Bro, we got to get to 10,000.
That was the best part, too, that I think it was easy in the chat noticed that Davis had snap replied within a minute to my sheet. Just like literally glanced at it. I was like, this needs to be more professional. I was like, fuck off.
Oh my God, that's so good. I'm gonna have to defend Davis here. I'll steal my Davis. He was just nervous that this football player wouldn't think, you know, that his name would be associated with this unprofessional chicken scratch. And he's like, we got a big name here. We got a professional job.
Oh my goodness. All right, were there any, Brian, before we bring our guest on here, any other in-game syndicate announcements, or was it USFL and MLB?
Well, yeah, I guess we're going to have PGA Optimizer for free up on the site today or tomorrow, because we're getting Dan's stuff, but his sim's not ready yet.
Okay.
So we're just going to have the Optimizer for free if anyone wants to use it.
Gotcha, and then are there default projections in there? Do you upload your own?
There's the projections from Sports Data, like an API provider.
Yeah. But
they're not ours. So you're going to want to massage them or import from wherever you get projections from. It'll work.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Let's bring our guests to the stage here. We got Bunchu Betts, my guy Clay, who I've known forever doing content with. Recommended Bunchu as a fit for Lulz based on some of the Twitter reactions. Everyone's excited to have you on. So Bunchu, welcome to Lulz.
Thank you so much for having me. Honestly, big fan of you, Pete, and everything that you guys have done. Going back to, gosh, Club Top Shot days was when I first got introduced to your content, because I've been in that crypto blockchain space for ever. And it was really cool to see, you know, all the content you guys made around that back when it was hot in the streets. So excited to be here and chatting with you.
Yeah. And for people who aren't familiar, obviously we'll get to the stuff you're working on now, but yeah, like what is kind of like your background, obviously sports betting of some sort.
Yeah. So, I mean, gosh, I've been a sports bettor for as long as I could remember. Started out as a losing one, as I think many of us do. And it takes quite a bit of time and effort and energy to kind of understand, I think, like, you know, that it's really a market like anything else, right? Like the stock market, like the crypto markets, et cetera. And, you know, so I've been sports betting forever and ever and ever. And back in, gosh, 2017, that's actually how I found blockchain for the first time. I, you know, back in those days, there was no FanDuel's and DraftKings regulated sports books like there is now. You had to bet on your bet online, your Bovadas, etc., and your banks wouldn't even let you deposit. So they all started taking crypto at that point, Bitcoin deposits. And that's how I found the blockchain space and fell down that rabbit hole and never came out. Kind of went full time in that space with some companies that I started back in 2021. And, you know, worked on some big projects in the blockchain space with Starbucks and Anheuser-Busch, things like that. And at that time working on those things, as when I fell down like the AI rabbit hole. And, you know, the ChatGPT moment was a very transformative thing for myself. And, you know, it took me from zero to one on a lot of things that I either never had time to learn or, quite frankly, wasn't smart enough to prior. And, you know, I felt like some of those things, like modeling sports, right? Things I always wanted to do that I never had the time and energy to learn, now I could do much easier. And so I felt like, oh man, I should spend all my time learning about this stuff. And that's what I've been doing for the last kind of 2.5 years. And the project that we're working on now is kind of the Venn diagram of all of those things of blockchain, crypto, and AI. So that's kind of where I've been and how we've got to what we'll hopefully talk about in a little bit today.
Awesome. What you got some, Brian?
No, well, no, that's interesting. I want to know what it is. What's next for you? Got a question for me?
Yeah. So, I mean, oh, I could jump right into it. We are working on Billy Betts. So I'm the co-founder and CEO of Billy Betts. Billy Betts is essentially a AI agent that lives on the blockchain and bets sports. So we were crazy enough to build an AI agent, give it a wallet, fill that wallet with $100,000 and let him loose on chain, betting sports on Polymarket, on overtime.xyz, on sx.bet, places like that. And you know, one of the, I think, kind of key insights here is like when you think of the whole AI world right now and where it's headed, agents is what everybody's talking about. And I think there's some unique things you can do with agents on blockchain, which is give them a wallet. And when you can give an agent a wallet, that means that you can teach it to kind of create its own value and create its own revenue, whether that's like through services or in our case, through teaching it how to bet on sports. And I think what's also really interesting about that is if you can teach an agent to do that and create its own revenue, the agent is not selfish. And so that means it can share that revenue with a individual or a community. And so we have a token that is attached to Billy. And by holding the token, you basically have exposure to all of Billy's action. And when Billy wins, he buys back and burns his token. So, you know, what's really been interesting about it so far is it creates this really cool social thing that happens where people pull up every day to the dashboard or the Discord and they're, hey, what is Billy on? And we've got, you know, a menu of things that Billy has bet on throughout the day, and everybody's rooting for the same thing, right? So there's this kind of social sweat thing that's happening that's been really cool because everybody's obviously rooting for Billy to win and then buy and burn tokens. So that is kind of the current mechanism of how you have exposure to what our agent is out there doing in the world, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, so I've seen a little bit of what you guys are doing on Twitter. I mean, you mentioned like how much of you describing this agent is like completely out of your guys' control and like how much of it is coded. Like you mentioned that he can, you know, give back or whatever, share the profits or whatever. So like how close are you guys to being hands off on this and how much are you guys involved with what's actually happening?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the goal is full autonomy for Billy, right? The idea is that he kind of wakes up, makes his own decisions, makes his own bets, and then afterwards does all of the token buying and burning. I would say the things that are autonomous now are all the things that lead up to Billy making the bet, him actually making the bet. And then what is, I guess, where we still have some hands-on is the process of him buying back the token and burning it himself is not a thing that he can do yet, but will be in the future. So when he does have to buy back and burn his own token, we kind of do that through the wallet. But I mean, everything else is pretty autonomous in terms of like how it works is he kind of there's kind of two ways that he bets, right? So he'll bet, you know, if you're familiar with profitable sports betting strategies, there's really kind of bottom up and top down, right? And bottom up would be kind of model based, right? You know, building your own models and comparing that to market prices, and you're kind of betting in that delta. That's your edge, right? And so Billy, we've partnered with a company called Sports Tensor. Sports Tensor is a crypto decentralized AI kind of platform that specializes in sports predictions. And they kind of power our initial base case for what Billy thinks might happen in, say, the NBA today, right? In terms of who might win, what the kind of win percentages for each team might be. And then he compares that to polymarket pricing. So based on that, he kind of has his base case of, hey, here's what I think might happen in the NBA based on the model and prices. Then from there, he kind of does his own work. He'll go look at injury reports. He'll go do research on trends. He'll go do sentiment analysis on Twitter and things like that. And then he decides, yes, I want to make this bet, or no, I'm going to pass. And if he decides to make the bet, he has the ability to go out and do that on Polymarket by himself. And he'll do that via some bet sizing parameters that we have in place. Like we're using kind of a modified Kelly criterion strategy for his bet sizing for him. And he'll size his own bet and he'll place his own bet. And then redeem his own bet as well when he wins. So he kind of has to go to the window himself too. One of the really cool things you can do on Polymarket is they're traded like stocks in the sense that you buy them in shares. So when he makes a bet on Polymarket, he has he has X amount of shares for his position, and he can actually monitor in-game prices and decide to sell out of his position either fully or partially and let it ride. So, you know, a fun, like real example of this was a couple weeks ago, the Nets, who are obviously one of the worst teams in the league, were playing the Thunder, obviously one of the best teams in the league. They were a 9-cent line on Polymarket, which meant they had, you know, a 9% implied probability to win the game. Billy bets them and with a decent amount of size, and the whole community is like, what the hell are you doing, Billy? This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. The Nets go out to like a 20-point lead in the first 15 minutes of the game. Billy sold out his initial position, so the rest of the game was a free roll, and the Nets ended up leading in that game all the way into like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They ended up blowing the lead. But it was a risk-free bet for the community because Billy kind of sold out his position while he was in profit. So he can do cool things like that that are really only available to do on blockchain-based exchanges like this, right? Like the equivalent would be early cash out on like a DraftKings or FanDuel, where typically those are kind of minus EV situations and you're selling out your whole position. So even if it's profitable, though, you are selling out your whole position, you kind of lose all of the upside. So that's kind of one of the kind of strategies he can do. The other, I would say, is like the top down strategy, which is more akin to price shopping, right? So it's like walking through a Walmart and only buying items with the wrong price tag on them. And so what Billy can do is he can take in real-time odds feeds and from, let's say, an unabated API or something like that, which can give you like a no vig fair odds for any specific line. And then he can scan all the markets he's tapped into and calculate if there's an edge to be had off of that fair value and basically snipe those lines. He is very, very good at sniping mispriced lines, which is kind of fun to watch. What I think is cool about that is like, if you were to try to do that as like, let's say, a handicapper that is selling picks, for example, those lines are gone before your community can get them. And so if Billy's doing them in one shot on behalf of the entire community where he's going to, you know, win the bet, buy back and burn, everybody's kind of got access to that same thing, which is really kind of cool. So that's kind of how he works now. We don't really have any hands on the wheel in terms of those kinds of decisions, right? We're not really manually placing anything. He's doing it all himself. And the only things we touch are kind of like the, I would say, post-game things right now.
So, I, of course, like the mechanics. So I think I got it. So, you know, Billy, the AI better bets at these. I'll ask more questions about this, but they'll bet at certain books. Wins or loses. The users have a token that's related to Billy. Billy is going to burn some of these tokens based on how he does, and that'll change the value of your token. Where does the money go? Like, let's say Billy wins 10 grand. Where does that money go?
Sure. So so the way it's structured now, half of the profit stays to grow the bankroll, right? So that stays in Billy's betting wallet to grow his bankroll so that over time, the bankroll keeps growing. You can get bigger bets down as we plug into different and more sports books and exchanges. The other half is what he uses to buy back and burn the token, right? So that money is staying within the ecosystem. Half of it is kind of accruing that value back to buying token supply for the community, essentially, to be destroyed and be deflationary. And the other half is that so he can grow his bankroll. So over time, he's betting either more bets in a day or larger size, depending on the liquidity of the certain of the market, right? So let's say for props, right? On-chain props are liquidity bound, meaning like you can't get unlimited liquidity down on props, just like you can't on a DraftKings. There's a limited amount on these exchanges as well, versus like a main NBA money line where on Polymarket there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of liquidity that you can go bet. So it works very similarly to how you would, how a professional sports bettor might approach the betting market. I think what's super cool about this too is, you know, I came from a background of I live in New Jersey, and there's a lot of sports books here in New Jersey, and the traditional sports book model limits you when you win, right? And so by taking this kind of strategy on chain with like a single entity thing, there's no limiting. You're bound only by the liquidity, and I feel like the future of these kind of peer-to-peer exchanges and things like that will just keep driving more liquidity and more participants in this market over time. So, Billy can't get limited, which is also a kind of a fun thing.
Pete, you know, when I talked about the sports betting syndicate crypto idea, and people laughed at me, Pete, they laughed at me. This is very similar. You kind of can cash out as a user because you could sell your tokens and Billy theoretically would buy them back.
Correct.
So that makes all sense. You said you can't get limited. What books does it use, and do they know that you're doing this?
Yeah, it's a great question. So right now we are tapped into really two main sports books, and the only reason it's only two is just because we haven't had the manpower to integrate into more of them yet. But so right now it's Polymarket and OvertimeMarkets.xyz, and I believe Polymarket knows we're doing it, but they're so big that I wouldn't be surprised if they don't. Overtime definitely does. They actually worked with us to integrate into them. I think one of the interesting things that we provide as Billy, like even if Billy is winning on a market like Overtime Markets, these on-chain sportsbooks are small in terms of, user base, and they're all kind of fighting on different chains for all this attention. They're fighting for new users. They're fighting for awareness. They're fighting for all of those things. And they're all telling kind of the same story as each other, which are, hey, we're on chain, so we're not going to limit you. And two, hey, you can, we're going to have better odds than, you know, your DraftKings or your FanDuels, et cetera. And so they're all kind of fighting for that market share from the big guys, right? And so to have us there kind of betting into them, whether or not we win, it's an awareness play for them. So it's almost like, really good exposure for their sports books. I mean, I bet you I would bet most of your audience has not heard of overtimemarkets.xyz, right? And so by Billy betting into them and talking about it and being part of that conversation, it's a marketing play for some of these sports books as well. You know, one of the things that I think really exemplifies this is, you know, Billy's got a Twitter account. He's not just the robot that bets, right? He's got a Twitter account that he runs and manages. He tweets his plays, all of this shit. And he kind of like trash talks out on the timeline. He's a little bit of a shit poster. And, but he's got in 3.5, 4 weeks, 4.1 million impressions on Twitter. And so when you think about like what's in it for these sports books, I think it's two things. One, if they are a centralized book like Overtime, it's exposure for them. And then two, like many of them are not centralized, right? They're peer-to-peer exchanges, like a Polymarket, like an SX Bet, where there's not a centralized entity. So there would be no reason for them to have concern over a specific entity winning against them, right? So I think that's part of the beauty of some of these peer-to-peer on-chain exchanges.
They could, in theory, just like there could be legislation that prohibits it. They could get bad publicity and they just don't want to deal with it. You know, that's just like people don't like the idea. It's possible. But I agree, the exchanges are definitely the way to go.
Well, people. The thing with the blockchain, though, is they kind of can't, right? Like the whole promise of blockchain is that it's permissionless, right? So they all have open APIs and open smart contracts that you can tap into as any individual. So a centralized one surely could, right? But a Polymarket is totally decentralized in the sense that, you know, say they, for whatever reason, decided they were going to block Billy's wallet. They found Billy's wallet and they decided to block it. Like you spin up a new wallet and you're the same as the next guy. There's not a KYC process. You don't have to take a picture of Billy's silhouette holding his driver's license to get on the exchange. You open up a wallet and you deposit your USDC and you are, you're good to go. Right. So, you know, I think that is part of the interesting thing about betting on chain in those types of scenarios.
That I'm sure that's all true. So no one owns Polymarket, but before you answer that, I assume someone does. It's still like as a company, it's not good. Like if the law says you can't use an AI to bet on exchanges and they put forth, don't use AI exchanges on here. It's probably not a good idea to run a company skirting the law. And
sure. I don't,
even though you could.
No, that's totally, that's a good point, right? So if it came out that, you know, it was against terms of service to do so, yeah, right? Like just like your DraftKings and things like that, there's all these terms of services. You can't multi-account, you can't do X, Y, and Z. Yes. So that could be a problem in the future potentially, but yes, somebody does own Polymarket. However, the liquidity that is and the markets that are made on Polymarket are totally decentralized and open, right? So anybody could open a market on Polymarket and anybody can provide liquidity to those markets, right? So you could say, hey, you know, we're going to open a market on Pete's, you know, ROI on daily fantasy for the month of March, and people could bet into it, provide liquidity totally permissionlessly. You don't need Polymarket's approval, right? So for example, on the other side, say you want, say like a similar exchange like Novig, right? Would in order for a market to be opened, they have to do it, right? Or ProfitX, they would have to open a market for you. In a Polymarket situation, you can open any market. That's why you see, you know, markets on politics, on just all kinds of random things, like who has the best AI model at the end of March, like just random things. And people are opening these markets, providing liquidity, and people are wagering into them.
So someone in the chat had asked if Billy's profitable, and then PJ gave a quick rundown here. March Madness profitable, NBA money line negative ROI currently. One of the things that happens, I mean, I'm sure you're well aware of, with sports betting touts, right? They go on a heater, they get all the retweets, all these new followers, then they go on a cold streak or whatever, and everyone's telling them to kill themselves in the comments, and that they're like,
yeah.
Obviously, like, this industry kind of lives and dies, ebbs and flows by how you're performing.
Totally.
How do you guys think this is going to be different? Like, if Billy goes on this crazy downswing and everybody's taking a bath, like, why? How is it going to be different than any of the other ones that people turn on?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I think there's two things here, just about like your point initially about like the tout betting or the tout market and what makes Billy potentially different there, and then the actual. How is Billy performing of it all, right? So I think let's touch on the performance part first. So there's I would say five markets right now that Billy is going to be betting into. So it's NBA money lines, it's NBA player props, it's MLB money lines starting today, MLB player props starting today, and he's betting on March Madness. And so out of the three active kind of markets that we're betting in right now, he's profitable in two of them. He's profitable in the NBA prop market, and he's profitable on March Madness so far. So where he's more break-even negative is the NBA moneyline market. I think there's actually a really good reason why this is. I mentioned we are partnered with SportsTensor on this, and we're not their only client, right? So there's some extra things that we have to do with Billy that maybe erode a little bit of the edge that he might have, right? Like, in order to protect their intelligence and their model, we have to bet like 2 minutes before game time, right? So you are betting at post, and which is obviously the most efficient version of that particular market. So I'm sure that has a little bit of it as well. The other thing too is, you know, this is a learning process for both the agent and the model, right? So after All-Star break in the NBA is really hard to bet, right? There's probably things he's not taking into account or not taking into account as much or the right way, like tanking or, you know, in-game dynamics of rotation and all that kind of stuff. So it's one of the hardest markets to bet into. So I'm not totally surprised that early on that's the result, right? I think over time, the real fun of the experiment of like, can AI be better than a human is, can he learn on top of that performance? Can he correct himself and change his strategy, learn how to kind of adapt to those situations? And I think that's kind of where this whole fun agent experiment goes in the future. So we'll be, you know, it'll be fun to see if he can stay profitable in all of these strategies. I think the next part of your question is like, how do you differentiate from any other, you know, pick selling tout? I think there's two things here. One, Billy bets everything on chain, right? So he can't hide his performance. It's out there every day. There is a, you know, blockchain record of Billy's bets. So if he wins, it's out there. If he loses, it's out there. I think that alone is a differentiator from many, pick sellers, right? There's this whole narrative about tracking, you know, show your P&L, track your bets, etc. And a lot of them don't do that. And so I think that's one differentiation. I think the other thing that we've seen so far is, remember, you've got token holders that are basically have access or exposure by proxy in terms of like they're holding the token. So yeah, they may have bought the token, but that doesn't mean necessarily that they have any additional money out of their own pocket on a game. And what I've seen so far, I'll give you a really great example. So we did like a team offsite last week, and we went to Miami, and our team's all remote. So we got together in Miami. We went to a Heat game on Wednesday night. And first of all, we were like, oh, I wonder if Billy's going to bet on the Heat game because we don't really know until it happens. And I was actually concerned he was going to bet on the opposing team and we would have to be there rooting against the Heat. But he did. He bet the Heat and we're sitting there all at the game. And the game was epic. It was the one that they played the Pistons and it came down to the last second shot. And they actually lost on the last second buzzer beater to the Pistons. And there was this weird kind of thing that happened when we were in person, which is like when you lose a sports bet on your own, there's all these feelings that happen. You've lost money, you made a bad decision, X, Y, and Z, and you kind of have this, you know, like there's a negative feeling there. What we saw instead was actually, yeah, we were all disappointed it lost, but it was almost like everybody else that was there with us. It was like they got to have all the fun with none of the hangover. Like it was, oh, we lost, but it wasn't their money they lost. Billy lost his money. And yeah, I wasn't burning tokens that night, but it wasn't as life or death, right? As it feels like when you lose your own money sports betting. So to the roundabout answer to your question is like the exposure via token is kind of a weird phenomenon that we're seeing happen of like, okay, yeah, I'm live or die on whether you win or lose every night, but it's not necessarily I'm losing a ton more money on myself that I went and bet. Because most people, I would say, are not like tailing Billy's bets in terms of like after they're out, they're not going to rush and bet the same things that Billy is.
Well, that's the other interesting thing about what you guys are trying to do, because you think about what works in kind of the gambling sports betting tout world right now. And a lot of it is narrative based. And you could talk about some of, you know, people are, you know, sharing overfitted splits and stuff. That's bullshit, but they're telling a story. They're at least saying, here is why, here's a narrative. Here's a compelling reason why they're going to go over or under their thing. Because with what you guys are doing, like there's no narrative to it. There's the larger narrative of like, what's the arc of Billy? Is he changing his strategies? But on each individual bet, like he's not giving his logic or a story of like, hey, this is why Heat money line tonight is an awesome bet, which I think is interesting because that's generally what pulls new people in, is some narrative about why it's an interesting bet.
Yeah, I think there's two things there. I think that well, one is that if you go to like Billy's dashboard, you could see all the props that he plays every day, et cetera. And what we actually show is, you know, kind of what he perceives the edge is, like what he quantifies that his edge is on that specific play, how much money he put on that. And so I would say his narratives are much more, I would say, math based, right? And so you can still see like on all the player props what he played, what his perceived probability of the event happening is, and what the market's perceived or what the market's implied probability is. So like you can go look every day at our dashboard for Billy and you can see, hey, look, Billy's got a perceived 10% edge on this because X, Y, and Z. So there is a little bit of that. However, it is not necessarily the larger narrative that you're speaking about when you see kind of the traditional tout things. However, like we did, man, I wish I can, could I share my screen for a minute?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So let me just bring something up, but I'll show you what we did for March Madness. That was really kind of fun.
Just make sure you share the right tab. There's been an industry wide problem.
Yeah. Please no showing any, porn, last week, by the way, I'll just mention
my porn's on my Mac. So we're okay.
Okay, good. Good. If you guys missed last week, we had Greg Ehrenberg on from Stochastic who, it was a real whodunit mystery episode of Lulz. People really enjoyed it. So if you missed that last week, go back as Greg reveals the story behind the accidental porn being shared on a recent Stochastic Get Playback stream there.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. We got your screen shared. Looks like we could potentially get some DMs leaked here if you're not careful.
That's okay. We'll be okay. It's such a mess. You won't even know who they came from. The porn bots are at the bottom, so we're safe. But here, what you're looking at here is like, so Clay and I, last week, Billy filled out his own March Madness bracket. And so we actually went through literally game by game and asked Billy what he thought of each matchup. And he actually gives he calls Lipscomb, a bunch of nerds with math degrees, and he gives a breakdown of every matchup game by game. And so we filled out his bracket on his behalf, but literally here he's got every single game. And then we asked him, like, okay, well, now you've got the first round, which was set in stone, but how do how do these hypothetical rounds happen afterwards, right? So now he's in the round of 32 here. He picked Xavier to come out of that the play-in game, and then he actually had them beating Illinois, but he had them losing here to Kentucky. But he gives kind of the hypothetical breakdown, all using, you know, real stats from the season from both teams, and he keeps going until he picked a champion. I was praying this was going to happen, and it got so close. He picked UConn to beat Florida. And he actually picked UConn to go to the Final Four. So we were very much pulling for that potential UConn over Florida upset the other day. But he picked his national champ is Houston. So he picked Houston going all the way to the finals here. But again, he gave kind of his breakdown for each of these. So he, you can see they're using real stats here. So he's got all of this real-time data that gets piped into him and research that he can do. So you can come and ask him questions like this and build a narrative, right? And you can interact with him here in our Discord, and you can tag him on Twitter. So it's kind of a really fun thing. Like I said, he's got his own personality. It's meant to be this interactive thing and not just this kind of math algorithm behind the scenes, if that makes sense.
I like how he's got that event happening now thing up in the top left corner. Did you see that, Pete? Oh, you should get that.
Yeah. We got shouts to the Billy community in here. They're watching. So one of the fun things that we were actually invited to participate in, Prophet X, if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, we had Dean on from one of the founders. He was on a couple months ago.
Oh, amazing. So Prophet X did a like a handicapper bracket competition. So they got 64 handicappers and sports bettors to, and they made a bracket out of it, and they actually invited Billy to participate. And so Billy was a 16 seed playing against their one seed in the first round was Matty Chucks, and he's actually won his first two rounds, and he is playing in the Sweet 16 of the Prophet X bracket challenge starting tonight. So he went you had to pick six plays in the first round. One of them had to be a player prop. You had to pick five plays in the second round. One of them had to be a player prop. He went a combined 7-3-1. His opponents went a combined 2-9. So he kind of breezed into the Sweet 16, and we'll see if he can take home the bacon tonight when he starts playing in the next round.
Well, that just proves he's profitable, Pete.
That's what I mean. You know, seven, 10, 11 games is a huge sample size. Yeah.
So I'm curious. It sounds like you guys are, building up a community. You already have some people who are kind of stoked on it. I think the thing I would like, I'm curious, what is your guys' kind of like in-game, not that you have to have it all plotted out, but where you see this going? Because I wonder, to me, if I were to like poke holes in it, the risk would be it's like, when ChatGPT was initially released, people were going in there and being like, write me a poem. Oh, and now make it in a Shakespearean voice. And we were all just like, oh, this is so cool. It can do this. And now like no one talks about that anymore. It's like They're using it for like real use cases. And so I'm wondering like, I think the novelty of this right now is like really cool. Everyone's like, holy shit, like no one's doing this. When that wears off, like what's next for what this is doing?
Yeah, that's an incredible question. I think, we've almost kind of started talking about it, but the way I would think about it is what you see Billy as today and the thing we've been talking about for the last, 30 minutes or so is, I would say, kind of the prototype, the V1 of where we're going with this. And right now, the mechanism of exposure is you hold the token, and that's kind of like your proxy of having action. Where we're going with this is we're actually, currently hiring out for data science folks, for AI ML folks to come and help us build kind of version two of what we're doing here. But what that looks like is the thing everybody wants to do is kind of this tout thing that we've been talking about. The reason people buy picks is really interesting to me. Like, I'm not quite sure what the motivation behind it is, but I think it's that you kind of get the hard work done for you. You don't necessarily trust yourself to pick the right things, and you save a lot of time by doing it. And quite frankly, you have someone to blame when you lose, I think, is part of it, right? So there's that whole market that exists of people that buy picks, right? And again, as we were talking about before, then there's no track record. You're kind of paying for a subscription that, eats into the potential edge you even have in sports betting, which is, small. You're talking about 5-10%, right? So if you're paying for a huge subscription on top of that, that eats right into it. But my point of talking about that is what people are asking us for is the ability to kind of tail Billy more directly. And so I think where this goes in the future is not just this one agent that's out there doing the thing on chain. It's that you now can come and spin up a personalized version of Billy, right? And that can look a couple different ways, right? So you spin up your personalized instance of Billy, you fund your own wallet, and you choose which strategies you want to follow of Billy's, whether it's all of them or whether it's, hey, I can see you're only profitable in props and March Madness, and so I want to do those. Or I hate college basketball. Just give me the MLB, give me the NBA, whatever. And so our goal is to obviously, one, build winning strategies, and two, give people a way that they can kind of do that, have it done for you version with a research agent, an agent that can actually take action for you. I truly do believe, and this might sound crazy, that the world we're headed into, everybody that bets sports at some point in the near future will have an agent that they use for either research or automated betting. And I don't think we're like too far away from that, maybe a couple years. And so that's where the next iteration of Billy comes from, the ability for you to spin up a personalized version and use it in a way that you are comfortable with from a risk level, from a strategy perspective, from a sports perspective, which sports are you interested in. So that's where this goes next from there. And then the other product that we are currently working on, which I think is actually really interesting from a thing that you can only do with blockchain and AI that you cannot do in a I would say Web 2 or traditional sports book environment, is this same concept that you can tap into every one of these markets permissionlessly and see every price, every event, and all the liquidity associated with it at any given time. It exists now in the shape of an odds screen, right? But with an odds screen, you have to, one, sit in front of it all day to identify a proper opportunity. Two, I would say most people out there that may not even use an odds screen, but those people probably have two apps on their phone for betting. It's probably DraftKings, it's probably FanDuel, and maybe one other. So if you're staring at an odds screen and the best price in market is at MGM, but you only have FanDuel and DraftKings, there's a lot of friction there. You have to download the app, create an account, deposit, and get the bet all before it disappears. So if you can look at and tap into and have access to all of these on-chain markets at the same time, you can build essentially the Expedia for sports betting on-chain, right? So the idea would be a natural language processing terminal that somebody comes to and says, I want to bet the Knicks tonight -7 for $100. Billy takes a snapshot of all the markets that he's tapped into and says, actually, you can get 6.5 at overtime, and queues up the transaction. You sign the transaction and it sends for you. That is literally the equivalent of DraftKings routing you to FanDuel because there's a better price. That it cannot happen. It won't happen. They're publicly traded, siloed companies that are competitors, right? So there's a bunch of different products that we can build on top of Billy's capabilities that are, less novelty, more actual, utility. And I would say what you're looking at right now for Billy is V1, the prototype of the thing that we roll out in the future.
I was also thinking, Pete, you don't have to be everything to everybody. So kind of like the bettors who like those tout stories and stuff, you know, you don't have to cater to them. Because like the way in my head, the version one here, it's very like crypto bro centric. So like guys who want to do tokens and stuff like that. Like in my head, I could see like coming up with your own algorithm to buy and sell the Billy token based on like his bets and how he's doing. And like if he has to buy back tokens, maybe you could sell them when he's got to buy them back and buy them when you know he's got a bad night, you know, something like that. And you could play that game. And then I also went to your V2 kind of idea of individual where I mean, we might be interested in our own version for props because so like I think there's like kind of like three pieces here. One is you kind of solved, or at least solved in one way, the whole syndicate betting thing where, you know, like ETR offers props. There's not a lot they can do other than just post the prop, say we're going to post the prop in 5 minutes. They could do the right side sports idea, you know, and say, hey, it might be fake, it might be real, just so we get as many people. Then, oh, that was the fake one, but the next one might be real. So like you can't game the system. It's pretty lame. You know,
you also get limited real quick doing that, right? Like and then people get limited. I'm a buyer of ETR projections, right? And like I used to, you know, use their service as well. But if you try to hit those same props that they release all at the same time, you just put yourself on a no-fly zone, right, with the sports book that you're betting into. And so I totally agree with you from that standpoint as well.
So that's one piece. The other piece, you know, is like the better idea, like who's your customer base, you know, like Pete's talking about, who do you cater to? That's a big question, you know, on where you went. And if you could go to all the different groups, that would be great. But like ETR, like it might be like better for them to not do this. Like who knows, maybe just selling picks and just doing that or selling the prop packages is better for them. But like, I do think that is definitely a viable option down the road.
Your syndicate point is really interesting. I've kind of been describing this as almost like flipping that traditional syndicate model upside down a little bit, right? Like even if you, so say you're an originator and you build your own models and you are, you're a sharp, you've got a great model, you run into a lot of problems. And in terms of like, okay, I'm betting my model at as many outs as I can. And the problem doesn't become winning. The problem becomes getting your money down, right? And you need multiple accounts, or you need to be providing information to a syndicate, to an actual betting syndicate, right? And what are the problems with actual betting syndicates? Well, there's like, they're this big top-down thing. Like the information comes from the top and it trickles down to kiosk runners first, then your DraftKings and your regulated books, and then after that your circas of the world that actually might move the line based on action. And throughout that whole process, you as the provider of that data there's a lot of trust involved, right? You have to trust that your information's not getting, you know, resold or used elsewhere. You have to trust that you're going to get paid. You're going to have to, the syndicate itself has to trust that runners are, you know, doing their thing and providing the right info, paying you, all of this stuff. There's a lot of trust involved. And the model is top down. This is more bottom up, right? It's like the syndicate is Billy, right? And the benefactors are the token holders and the users. And it's kind of like this one for all type of thing, I think is really potentially interesting. It's this different type of way to approach it. It's a social thing that's happening as well. So I totally agree with you from the syndicate model standpoint.
And the money changing hands is so big. Like, but in a regular syndicate, like they like to have guys who have credit on their accounts, so there's no money exchanging hands or as little as possible. If you try to do like one of my ideas back in the day, like people would have to buy in, you know, to the syndicate, and you kind of want to do that, but through a token, it makes sense. The third piece, which I didn't mention, is the actual betting, like the modeling, and can you beat sports betting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And because I think like people think of AI you probably know better than anyone. There's a lot of like Terminator 2 Doomsday folks out there who are like, you know, AI is going to end the world. And it's, and then me and Pete go on to ChatGPT and it can't even like give us decent.
And you turn yourself into anime with like the whole internet did yesterday.
Yeah. Right? And it's like so frustrating. It's like, this is not anywhere near Arnold Schwarzenegger yet. And so like there's a whole bunch of different, and so like in the sports betting world, there's a lot of people who think, oh, well, it's just going to, you know, machine learn the internet and then it's going to be able to make these profitable bets. So like that could be a good like marketing tool. I don't know how realistic that is. And I don't even know how much, if it's even worth a lot of time being spent on coding that out. Honestly,
well, it's hard for betting an individual, is pretty easy. Right?
The top down betting, I think you could definitely make a profit on. This is just me pontificating here, but like, so like, I do think those are kind of the three pieces, is like the betting spot, the syndicate side, and then who are you going, the customers, who you're going after. I think the betting thing is honestly like the least interesting part of those three.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, like your point about, the building of the models and stuff too. I think it becomes part of our job is to give Billy the appropriate tools to actually be profitable, right? And I think that comes with domain expertise. It comes with the ability to have the team that can actually provide the data to build the models, the team that can do the modeling, et cetera, that provides Billy access to this stuff. And what I like about that, with your point you just made, is like that becomes our job, and our job, and then Billy's job is to execute on those things. And if you can then spin up your own instance of it, you can choose to, hey, I want to use these models that are kind of proven. Here's the track record. And what I love about it is, again, all on chain. So you could see, is it actually profitable? Or are you just telling me that? Right. And then the second thing is like, maybe you bring your own model, right? So there are people that do, originate their own prices on things, and maybe it's executing, it's a suite of tools that helps you execute your own models as well. So I think there's a kind of a product in here for each kind of better over time, and it's about us building the suite of tools that can go out and execute autonomously on these sports books and do the research, be a true assistant in that sense, and then actually kind of execute our own strategies that over time we hope stay profitable as well. And I think the cool thing about what the promise of AI is that like an agent in general is, over time, they can learn from the things that they do. And if we can give them enough tools to do that, they should be able to be profitable over time as well. So I think like there's just a product in here for everybody over time as we get deeper and deeper into this. But what's fun now is kind of the prototype version, see if it can win, mm-hmm. and having it shit talk you on Twitter while it's doing it.
Yeah, I think what's interesting, because like in my head, and people may disagree, and Brian and I have been talking about this on the show a lot, about like how sports betting content is really hard, and it kind of generally falls into three buckets, at least how I see it. There's educational stuff. We talk about like what Captain Jack and do that, and there's certainly a market for that, but like capped upside. There's just like the straight pick selling, pick touts, like all of that stuff. Here's a pick, you know, tail me, the Alex Caruso types. And then there's like the community based stuff of like, you know, what I think we try to do on the Shipcast, like, hey, come sweat with us. We'll make this bet. We'll tail it, whether that's a Discord kind of thing. And it seems like you guys are kind of trying to put your tentacles in almost like all three of those, like play within all of those areas. And then obviously you add the crypto element on top of it, which is maybe now a fourth area. So I do think it has a lot of upside in that you could probably resonate with a lot of people in a way where those other ones are generally like, hey, somebody wants to be a profitable bettor. They want to read the logic of sports betting. They want to ask Captain Jack questions at Discord. They don't give a fuck about the picks. And then you have the people who are like, I'm going to follow Joe Holka on TikTok, and I don't even know who, you know, Captain Jack is, and never care to know who he is. So it is interesting to think like who you guys ultimately, you know, speak to with what you're doing.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I think hopefully we can have something for all of those people as well. I think the community thing lends itself most to kind of the token aspect of it all too. You know, this crazy thing happened when we launched, and I think this is probably because initially our audience is crypto native, right? Because of the token involved. But like what we were seeing happening in our Discord and things like that were, I can't tell you, I've probably got 100 DMs of people saying that they haven't watched the NBA in 5 years, and they got league pass to follow what Billy is doing. And that is a really interesting thing that was happening, is like, I think we onboarded people into sports or a specific league, which is also this kind of weird thing that I quite honestly did not even expect. Right. So there was that whole thing that happened very early on, where we were getting people that are sports fans, but didn't follow the NBA. And now they're watching NBA on League Pass because we're all sweating together, right? So there's this kind of onboarding into different sports that was happening as well. And because like those people would never go bet on the NBA themselves. But now because they're following this, they have vested interest, and it's not necessarily this crazy high anxiety monetary exposure interest. It's, hey, I'm following this thing, I may own some token, and now I'm part of this community that is sweating NBA games every night, but I'm a diehard baseball fan, or I've never watched sports in my life. And that thing was happening. So there's like this weird, maybe fourth or fifth element that of the things you just described that I think we can potentially tap into as well.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised there's that many people who are into that, that care that much about sports. It seems definitely more like token bro vibes and Bitcoin type of people who just, you know, looking to me, which there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I mean, I mean, I'd be fine with it. I mean, me and Pete like to, tell people how to run their company, even though we have like no domain experience. We don't let that stop us. I like the idea of using it as like a promotional vehicle for now, but more like that white label idea later on.
Totally. And
like you could see Pete, like even ship chasing, you know, or ETR, it doesn't matter. You could still offer your stuff and the Billy, you know, bot AI proprietary towards your whatever. And people could do both. I mean, I don't think that makes
tons right. Of so sense. Imagine ETR, right? So imagine ETR, right? Where like going back to how Billy bets props. Billy's betting props based on he's got a source of truth that he says, okay, this is what I'm looking for an edge against, and then based on that, I'm going to snap call any edge that I see over X, right? So it would be no different than ETR plugging in their projections, having Billy essentially do that statistical distribution that, you know, the unabated sims and the ETR sims do. And then now you've got an actual source of truth that is built from their projections that then Billy could go scan markets against and find those similar edges, right? So I could totally see this turning into something like that. Bring your own projections, and those products exist in those forms now, right? Like Unabated does an incredible job of it. However, there's a lot of friction there, and it is very much designed for a hardcore sports bettor. So what if that part can be done for you, and you as a sports fan can be enjoying that? I mean, don't forget, like, we are sitting here every time we watch a sporting event with DraftKings and FanDuel smacking you in the face with millions and millions of dollars worth of advertisements that say sports betting is entertainment. Sports betting is entertainment. And then they pick your pocket with a mispriced 10-team touchdown parlay when you walk in the door. And I think so what I'm getting at there is like incentives are misaligned for the average sports bettor, and they're never going to go find a tool or pay for a tool like Unabated, even though there's incredible value in those tools, because there's a lot of friction. You have to have some domain knowledge. You have to have some interest level in doing and hunting and all of that stuff. And I think what a product like this can offer is that kind of like done for you feeling mixed with true entertainment, right? It is aligned incentives through kind of like the token piece. So I think that's all really interesting. I can see the product evolving in that way as we go too.
You did. So, you did make that one major mistake, which is the Billy Betts persona should definitely have been a hot chick.
You think so? You think we need some silhouette, you know, bosom instead of just the headphones?
Well, that actually, honestly, I know Brian's like somewhat joking, but if you're gonna build out the world, what if Billy had a girlfriend? What if Billy had a girlfriend that started running hotter than he did? What if there's now a controversy? I mean, obviously the tokenomics and stuff would have to play into that in a clean way, but there are some pretty fun narratives through lines you could build with competing agents.
100%. So there is actually another crypto agent out there that it's called Tracy AI, and it's built by built and backed by like some, you know, NBA players that are associated with it, like Darius Garland's associated with it. I forget who else, but their team. We've talked to their team, and like what they're doing is more like NBA analytics or NBA commentary on stats and stuff. They don't want anything to do with the actual betting part of it, right? For a multitude of reasons. However, if you go ask Billy who his love interest is, he will tell you it's Tracy AI. So Billy's trying to mack on Tracy a little bit, but I do love the idea of like building out the narrative of the whole world, right? Like what if Billy runs cold and all of a sudden the Twitter account of Billy's bookie shows up and he's in his mentions trying to break his digital legs every day, right? Like things like that.
So what ultimately is kind of the big upside for you guys in this? Because it sounds like you're investing some serious money. If you're hiring a developer, obviously it sounds like you guys just did an offsite retreat with your team. Like you're putting money into this. How do you ultimately see a nice return on that investment?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'll start by saying we are a, you know, fully kind of funded actual company. We are a like Delaware LLC. We did a raise through our token. We did a small kind of private raise. We were going out to do another raise here, small raise in the next couple of weeks. And so we are like a backed company that is going out and building this thing as a legitimate business. I think like V1 is like we talked about with this with Billy as the prototype, kind of like this demonstration of what it can do. I think the big upside at the end is I do truly believe that in the next 3-4 years, every single sports bettor will have some sort of AI assistant to help them make bets, whether that's an automated betting thing like we're doing here or whether it's a research assistant. And I think the big upside for that is that, you know, you've been seeing like your DraftKings and your FanDuels already implement some interesting AI things. And I think we could potentially pose a threat to the traditional sports betting system with this idea that betting can be done on chain, open, permissionless, and automated for you. And I think that's a potentially interesting thing for these existing sports books to want to get involved in. And if we can truly build the vision of this kind of natural language processing price aggregating terminal, that is absolutely a true threat to the sports betting industry. So I think there's kind of two things we can tackle: is one, this kind of tout market that we've talked about a little bit, and two, you know, this terminal of like AI providing you the best price all the time, the thing that you want out of an odds screen, but kind of done for you proactively. And I think that's actually a real threat to the traditional sports betting system. It's the thing that you don't get now is, and I think that the average bettor doesn't necessarily even understand is happening to them, is like, everybody should be price sensitive, whether you're betting for entertainment or not. And so, but most people don't understand it that way, or even, you know, really understand that that's what's happening. So if we can kind of do that part for you, I think that's actually a really big opportunity for us as well. So I think those are kind of the real big opportunities as the end goal of this. And obviously Billy making some money on the way is, and buying his token is also a good thing for us.
Do you think the market could ever get efficient? Like through AI, that DraftKings could just spend $1 billion on something and it's like, wow, there's not really much, and then cut their markets down?
I think the as long as there are like these truly competitive companies. So I think in order for the market to be like truly efficient, you'll have to see a ton of consolidation in the sports betting market. And I think you'll also have, but like, think about FanDuel now. How do they differentiate themselves from a DraftKings? Well, they do their own pricing on a lot of stuff. And so by them doing their own pricing, the market is inherently inefficient because DraftKings doesn't do their own pricing. They're using, or on most things, they're using a third party. So is as long as one company is doing it a different way, it's going to be hard to be a truly inefficient market. The exchanges are more efficient because of the fact that it's not a centralized, you know, book or, you know, company doing that thing. It is somebody else offering a price that they are basically pricing at, you know, either close to Pinnacle or creating their own fair odds. And they're just putting this tiny little markup on there and they're market making both sides. So I think the more the world goes to exchange betting, the more opportunity for market efficiency there is. I think if these companies are doing their own pricing and one is and one isn't, they're always going to be some sort of inefficiency there.
I meant more like AI, the pinnacle of AI. Do you think that AI could create 10 years from now efficient lines?
Yeah, I think all markets are going to be subject to that threat, right? Like I think you already see it a lot in like stocks, traditional assets and things like that. They're super efficient. I think sports betting is one of those kind of like last bastions. I think it's growing as an industry. So it's going to kind of probably do this like big, you know, bell curve thing of efficiency back or inefficiency back to efficiency. But I do think AI will make the markets more efficient. Imagine if everybody had a Billy, right? If everybody had a Billy doing the thing that we're talking about, it probably causes some more efficient markets, right? So I do think that. However, I do still think it has to do with the companies that are running these sports books themselves wanting efficiency or not, right? Like what happens if all FanDuel and all DraftKings prices are the same? How do they compete with each other?
They don't care. It's just like a casino. Like, why do you think they ask themselves that question about slots?
Well, that's kind of what I mean, right? So if they don't have any incentive to be efficient, then it's going to take longer for the market to be efficient. And the only tool that they have then,
well, they have incentive to be efficient. They don't have incentive to not be efficient. It's the opposite. Not really,
because they kick you out if you win. So they're not worried about efficiency. They're worried about balancing the net negative players.
That's just evidence they do care about efficiency by kicking out people who win, right?
Yeah. Okay. I guess maybe we're saying efficiency in a slightly different way, but yes, you're correct. So
yeah, like, and they don't they would prefer to be perfectly efficient, and they would still get customers because slot machines exist. That's evidence.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole different that's a whole different conversation.
I'm not super. I don't think they're going to go super efficient anytime soon. I think AI is really getting a ton of publicity about how great it is. And I don't think it's there yet. So no, I think we got a while.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think but having spent the last 2.5 years in this space, it's very night and day from, it's kind of like the, boiling the frog thing, right? Where it's like, when you're sitting in it, you don't realize how good it's gotten since where it started. And this, we're certainly on this kind of like exponential curve of capabilities. So the more intense these models get, the more they can follow rules, reason, use tools accurately, that's when this stuff kind of gets pretty crazy. So what I love about this is we can be first to do something like this, and we can try to keep being first, and the product improves as AI improves kind of automatically, right? And so yeah, but I think you're right there.
Well, it was great having you on. I dropped the link to Billy in the chat earlier. I'll drop it in the show notes as well, if people kind of want to learn more about what you guys are doing or sweat this beyond just following Billy on Twitter, what can people do?
Well, first, you want to hear what MLB props he's got today?
Sure.
Let's see, real
quick, because I got to get rutted here.
Yeah, he's got Sonny Gray over 5.5 strikeouts. He's got Chris Sale over 5.5 strikeouts. He's got Kikuchi under 6.5 strikeouts. So those are his player props for the day. He's playing the pitcher prop market today. But if you want to check us out, come join our Discord. Follow Billy Betts on Twitter at Ask Billy Betts, and you can check us out at billybetts.ai. I appreciate you guys so much for having me on. This was really fun. Really appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, man, it was fun, and I appreciate Clay setting this up. Kind of similar to our Profit X conversation, where my friend Michael Dubner hooked us up, and then ended up having a really interesting conversation that I think intersects at a lot of the things Brian and I regularly talk about on this show. So it was great chatting with you. Anything else from you, Brian?
No, I think that's I think it's really interesting. Honestly, I was hoping someone would do something like this. So good luck to you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys.
We'll be watching and seeing how it goes. And we'll see you guys next time on Lulz. We are here every Thursday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. And then we always throw the audio up on the Lulz podcast feed as well. Make sure you guys head over to In-Game Syndicate as well. Get those MLB projections there from Yuta. And we'll see you guys next time on Lulz. Peace.
Thanks, guys.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.